Listen, Ian. You're listening to I Am Called Ian. I am.
All the week stories and things concerning people whose name is Ian.
I am called Ian Lewis.
And I am called Ian Ketterman.
Ian News.
And this week's Ian News is dominated by the Ian Conference held in Shrewsbury last Thursday evening.
The Council of Ians has a new president in the shape of actor Ian McShane.
Yeah.
TV's Lovejoy. He replaces outgoing president Ian Lavender of Dad's Army fame, who's had to step down after 11 years service due to a TV commitment. Thanks for all your hard work, Ian.
You silly boy.
Stupid boy.
Aye. And thankfully, the Council of Ians has decided quite rightly that IAIN Ians should not be allowed to become members of the Ian Council by a 99.8% majority. I am glad. I always said that they shouldn't be in. I hate the IAIN Ians. Hate them.
Ian, cease this editorialising behaviour. I've warned you before about this. You're not to give your personal Ian views over the air as an Ian newsreader.
Just because you, Ian, voted for IAIN Ians to join.
My vote, Ian, is a personal matter due down to only my Ian self. I just think, right, that we should be creating unity amongst Ians, not a gaping divide.
Now you're giving your personal view, Ian.
No, that's different. No. Yeah. Ian competition.
This week, I Am Called Ian I Am is having a competition open to everyone who is called Ian. How many words of one or more letters can you make from the letters I, A and N?
The winner will receive a special I Am Called Ian I Am badge and a book by dead novelist Ian Fleming. Send your entries to Ian, room 125, 16 Langham Street, London, W1A, 1AA. But remember, you must be called Ian to enter.
Yes, and you must spell it I-A-N as well.
Shut up!
Well, as you can see, it should be an Ian-spiring competition. Goodbye.
Goodbye!
Lee and Herring, occasionally unable to achieve full arousal on 1FM.
And hopefully you got the right news for your name. There have been a few problems in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'd like to apologise to Michael Denman, who wrote in complaining that he keeps getting the news for Ian's or something rather than the news for Michael's.
Yeah, well, and apparently our technical expert says that there's a cross airwave between Michael's and Ian's, meaning you get the wrong one there.
This is the new single from Public Enemy. It's called Give It Up.
Give It Up! Quaking, body shaking, up a taking, brains are racking, clock talking, chuck rocking, flavor flavor, neck shaking.
It's another record jacket madness to put my brothers and sisters on a deathbed. You know he cheated, took what he wanted, and then you bought it. Sucking up to the devil, step to journal level. And school ain't fair, it's you who protects us from us and you for you. Yes, and it counts. The 40 hours, I sued the bastards, yeah, they got found. I did them like a demo, threw them out the window. I took a 98 cause I never liked a limo. Pump, 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 pump it up. A man grinds for mad times, that's what's up. Some ain't gonna change, I got them in the range. I gotta rearrange, so I'm building back your brain. Wrecking records with focus stuff. Am I loud enough?
Yeah.
You got to give it up. Again it counts. Mantis, brothers know the front's in the back, got the black behind it, that's whack. And once again it's on. It's Jimmy Crack, Corn Cracker singing, I don't care, it's on. I'm coming with a rhyme, what? I'm letting go of rhymes. Yeah. I navigate a rhyme through the rough and crazy times. Call me a Hannibal Lecter, yes, I checked it. An old M&O, so here it go. I'm sick and tired, so sly, I'll take you higher. But I'm and it sound to break it down. Rap is ripping a lyrical kick and finger licking. But to the rhythm I'm giving, but never cotton picking. Like James Brown, I'm saying it loud. Am I loud enough? You got to give it up.
No, just walked in the studio, put a piece of metal on her head and walked out again, and that's true. We don't know what that was about. If you've got any ideas about those celebrity heads on the insects, ring in on 07130602222. A couple of good ones here. Rick Paul from Bristol would like to see the head of Clive Dunn on the body of a cabbage white butterfly.
Nice. Francis, who's a girl, Francis from York, would like to see Charlie, Peter's brother's head, on one of the flies from Pete's kitchen.
And Troy from London would like to see the head of John Inman grafted onto the body of a Brazilian monkey-eating spider. Good effort, but of course, Troy, the spider is technically speaking an arachnid rather than an insect.
Once again,
that's the sound of your end.
I wish you people would learn your insects.
Yeah, earlier on we were talking to Nikki Mendley, about a lot of the art being destroyed and
by the council,
and the council art destroying man is with us, Simon Gornick. Hello,
yes.
Simon.
Hello.
Why are you destroying all this modern art then?
Well, I'm sure most normal people, like Richard, with their foot on the ground, would agree with me that all modern art is a pretentious sham. It confuses and offends decent people. And I think my view has been vindicated by the fact that the government has just recently passed a bill which gives councils the legal right to destroy any suspect work of so-called art within 2 weeks of its inception. That's law.
Right.
But how can you tell what is and isn't art?
Well, of course, this has opened up a whole can of Mandarin segments and the light syrup, but Our position is clear. If there is any ambiguity, Terminator's existence. Let me give you an example. The currently missing stolen Turner so-called seascapes.
Yeah.
When they're eventually recovered, they will be consigned to oblivion.
Oh, no. They're works of classic art. They're lovely.
Well,
you can't
all
say
right,
this.
No. Now, you see, some people look at these pictures and they say seascape, but they could just as well be, as I suspect, gobbets of bodily fluids flung against a canvas by a syphilitic opium addict masquerading under the self-appointed title of Bohemian.
So what are you going to do to them, then?
We'll shred them. Incidentally, for your listeners out there, you might like to get along to the National Portrait Gallery on August the 17th, 7:30 p.m, when the council will be applying extreme prejudice to that particular building, i.e. blowing it to smithereens. And there'll be some clowns and a hot dog stand, so that's quite a nice night out for the family.
Right.
And can I just say, actually, that I'm personally performing this task with absolute impartiality. Let me give you an example. Last week, I was obliged to tear up a painting my four-year-old daughter bought from nursery school. She said it was a dog, but as there was a possibility, and no matter how slight, that it was a celebration of formless anarchy, it had to be torn to pieces and ground into the dirt.
Right, and what are you going to, you know, what about people trying to hide art, do you reckon?
Well, you know, artists are devious people who never wash. An example of this was last year when a woman tried to pass off a piece of art as a house in the East End. We caught on to her and bulldozed it accordingly.
What do you think, Nikki, about all this?
Well, it's sort of symbiotic. It lets the council, they get the fund of destroying the art. We get a bit of publicity. So it works both ways, really.
Right, okay.
But, what are you doing now? Well, you got anything else coming up?
Yes, I'm up in Edinburgh this summer with my new piece. It's a performance piece, and I'm in the piece performing, using slides and sound effects, and me jumping about covered in blood. But you have to come and see me before August the 14th, as on August the 15th, the council will be coming along to destroy it.
That's right. With a bulldozer?
No, they'll be putting a gun up to my mouth and blowing my brains out through the back of my head.
And we'll do get along to that before the 20th of August, when the artist will be destroyed. And now it's time for our weekly hobbies update.
Hello, Simon Quinlank here once again with another hobby that you might like to try if you are currently hobby-less. This is a very good hobby. What you'll need for this hobby is...
a pencil.
An electoral register.
A flask of weak leather drunk.
And some binoculars or similar surveillance equipment.
This hobby is a good hobby for people who like the challenge of spotting a list of things but are bored by birds and trains, finding spotting them a childish hobby that a child would enjoy. My new spotting hobby is called woman spotting. What you need to do... take your electoral register of everyone in Britain and cross out any name that is the name of a man. Take care. Leslie and Francis can be a man or a woman's name. Carry the register with you everywhere you go in a plastic carrier bag. I'm in the shopping centre now and I haven't seen a woman yet. You might like to drink your weak lemon drink at this point, or you can save it till later. Or you could... I've just spotted my first woman of today. Now, just catch up with that. Now, to do this hobby, copy what I do. Excuse me, what's your full given name, including middle names?
Sorry?
I don't think I've got you yet, you see. What's your name?
Why?
Oh, it's for my hobby.
No, go away!
Some women might not give you their name, in which case surreptitiously follow them to their homes and hide nearby. Then ask passers-by if they know the name of the woman who lives there. Or you can break into their home under the cover of night and search drawers and bureaus. Or attack the postman as he goes up the drive and read the woman's name off one of the letters. Excuse me, postman.
Yes?
I just want that. Ah, yes. Her name is Mrs. R.B. Inman. I haven't got her yet. Hurrah! The good thing about my hobby is that it's a good way to meet women, and I've learnt that as a sex they're quite frightened generally. Also, it's a good hobby because there is an inexhaustible supply of women in the country, and when one falls by the wayside, another pops up to take its place, like the Skellingtons and Jason and the Argonauts. A bit. I hope you liked my hobbies, and enjoy doing it all your own hobby. As long as it's a hobby, I'm happy. It doesn't have to be one of my hobbies, but I prefer it if it is.
Lee and Herring from 9 to 10, throwing soup into the sea.
Kirsten has written to us again, slagging us off largely for not being women. So just to show that we're all right, really, here's one of my favourite records, the excellent lesbian country and western band Two Nice Girls, with a song called I Spent My Last $10 on Birth Control and Beer.
Nice!
When I was a young girl like normal girls do, I looked to a woman's love to help get me through. I never needed any more than a feminine touch. I hated the thought of kissing a man, it really was too much. I did not drink, I did not smoke, I did not say God damn, I was polite, I was sensitive before I loved a man. My family, they were proud of me, were proud of what I am. But then along came Lester and my tale of woe began. I spent my last $10 when I was over and quick, but the love of a strong haired man has turned my head out of fear and made me spend my last $10 on birth control and beer. It was June of 1983 when Mary Lou and I did part. She said she loved another dyke. My God, it broke my heart. I was bitter and disillusioned to lose another girlfriend. Well, Lester came to work at Papa's store and decided to ease on in. Before that last heartbreak, well, nothing made me more sick than a hairy-chested, cheap, double-breasted suited man with a hard dick. I guess that I was curious, heck, I guess that I was young. I guess it was that old rum and coke, I guess that I was dumb. Spend my last $10 on birth control and beer. My life was so much simpler when I was sober and queer. But the love of a strong hairy man has turned my head, I fear. It made me spend my last $10 on birth control and beer. For of course, for a woman to love a man, she must also love to booze. If a woman don't drink beside a man, then she will surely lose him. As I sit in this hetero honky-tonk and reflect upon my past, I think about those old girlfriends and why they did not last. Oh, the certain thrills that lesbian love simply cannot supply, like paying for abortions from sperm gone awry. And so I say to you, my friends, without this man, listen to my tale of woe and hang your head and cry. I spent my last $10 on birth control and beer. My life was so much simpler when I was sober and queer. But the love of a strong hairy man has turned my head out of fear and made me spend my last $10 on birth control and beer. I spent my last $10
Zemkis and Arthur M. Seahand, Hollywood producers.
So, Arthur, do you remember that time that guy came, Jonathan Wem?
Dim. Jonathan Dim.
Dim.
Anyway, Danuki had this film idea, Philadelphia. Yeah. We read it, and it was okay, but we said to him...
Well, we want to make a couple little changes. Just little changes.
Then maybe you have a film there. First of all, the Tom Hanks character, we changed that from, like, a middle-aged successful guy to a little... Pigeon flying around with a flying helmet on and a bag.
Because people like pigeons.
People like pigeons.
They do like pigeons.
They don't like men.
Rather than him being threatened by the AIDS virus, we have him threatened by a man in a big sort of hat and a laughing dog flying in a biplane. And we don't set it in Philadelphia.
No,
we set it in an airfield.
History airfield. Yeah, and then we change it, the title, from Philadelphia, whatever that means, to Catch the Pigeon,
the movie.
Then, Jonathan, Danuk said to him, you have a hit on
you
your
head. You have a hit on your hand.
What you have now...
It's stalling.
Oh, it's been run over at Thanksgiving.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel. On 1FM.
Well, Amanda Shirtbook's with us again. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, boys. Oh, now a lot of people live with or look after an old person. Well, I've got some ideas of some things that you can do that might keep your old people occupied. First, Club 73 to 77. If your old person is aged between 73 and 77 years of age, you can take them on this two-week holiday in the Costa del Sol. There, they'll be able to argue with or complain to other British people aged 73 to 77 in a delightful Spanish setting. They'll be able to reminisce about the Depression and Hitler's Germany and how things were better back in those good old days of mass slaughter and sexual repression. Philip Fry of Bristol has set up an old person's workshop. The workshop will teach old people how to wear woolly hats all the time, grow bush-sized clumps of hair in their ears, and walk very slowly, getting in young people's way. Now, most old people are suspicious and scared of drugs, so take your old person along to the Old People's Drug Awareness Day, where being forced to try drugs will show them how harmless everyday stimulants like alcohol, nicotine, marijuana, ecstasy, heroin and crack really are, or aren't, as the case may be.
Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah, and we got a phone call. It's Dave from Romsey. I don't know if we've had him before. Hello, Dave. Are you there?
You've phoned before, mate.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want to say this time, you greedy man?
Well, if you put Helen Daniel out of Neighbours, their head, and you stick it on a mayfly's body, then because mayflies only live 24 hours, she'll die.
Well, I think that's very sad. She's one of my favourite characters in Neighbours. You've immediately lost, and you've had two goes, and that's not fair.
Pete, else ringing.
Have you got something to tell us about this time?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, because you were talking about the Edinburgh Festival and that. There's lots of festivals on at the moment, aren't there?
Yes.
Like, there was that loud music one with a tent and that, you know, that band and that. So I've had an idea for a festival of my own, which is the 1994 Wandering Round Balham in a Coat, Looking at Things Festival. Mm-hmm. And here's some of the events that are going to happen. Oh, dear, what's happened here? One second, sorry. Yeah, well, films first, and my tip for the first film, for the best film poster on in Balham during the festival is the one for North, starring Bruce Willis, which is showing on a wall next to Al Kababish at the top of the high road.
Right.
The poster starts really well with a nice bit of sky in the middle, just above the title, but it does drag a bit towards the end where someone's drawn on a lady's winky between Bruce's legs.
Can I stop you there for a minute, Pete, because I just want to cough.
What had gone wrong, Pete?
My smell. Sorry. Right. Yeah, anyway, still on the subject of films, and there's a brilliant documentary showing at 211 Bedford Hill all this week, and it's called The Dirty Old Card Shop, where all the cards have gone blue in the sunlight. To see this documentary, all you have to do is just turn up any time between 9:30 and 4:30 during the week and stand there looking in the window at the cards and the old lady who sits there smoking all day, and she's got a bit of a funny cunner as well. And every 15 minutes, don't forget to look at the big Nissan advert on Station Parade. That's the adverts. Yeah.
Sounds good. It's a good idea.
Art next now, and there's an exhibition of things which all cost a pound at the Everything A Pound Shop gallery outside Dixon's. Some of the works of art, you can have two for a pound, but they do have to be the same thing. I mean, you can't have one of those little plastic baby chairs and a garlic crusher. So that's that. Then there's the Balham Easy Open Air Rock Concert is going to happen as well. What you do with this is just stand about a mile from the tube station and try to look over all the crowds of people at the man who stands by the entrance of the tube station drinking a bottle of medicine and singing. And this event is on most days of the festival, except when the man has to go and get more medicine or have a fight with that drunk woman that's always there as well. Right, finally to unwind, why not dance till dawn with your brother Charlie at the Your Own Room Club on Carminia Road? There actually isn't any music, but there is a record, 99 Red Balloons by a lady called Nina, so just sort of jump around the room looking at the record and imagining what it might sound like.
Pete, you know there are people who really, really want to get on the radio who are probably really quite good. Does it make you feel ashamed?
Yes.
Because you can barely speak. And remember, this is real. This is the real Pete, the way he plays on Chris Morris. It isn't real. This is him. Any more phone calls in, Stu?
John Dixon from the Isle of Man rang in saying he'd like to see Bono rocks his head on the body of an earwig.
Nick from Clapham is good from a good place. Says Victoria Principal should be on the head of a praying mantis. It's a shame to take the body of Victoria Principal away at all there.
And Stephen from County Antrim would like to see the head of Ringo Starr on the potato-eating insect, the Colorado beetle. Can I just mention a letter we've had?
Yeah, sure.
Right, Ian Lambeth wrote in with a suggestion for something to do. He says, wind up your parents. When Casualty or the Bill features a drug-related plot, criticise the details by saying things like, he's not using that syringe properly, you don't act like that on Smack, or 30 quid a hit, and I thought it was expensive round here. And it says, perhaps listeners could suggest other ways of prompting mental disturbance in parents. Thanks.
I think you're very good, really, Pete. I was only kidding. He's a bit upset by that. And now it's a band who are called Donna Party with a record that they have decided to call Something to Eat.
Would you like to have something to eat? Would you like to have biscuits and meat? Would you like some beans or a bowl of leafy greens? Would you like to have something to eat? Would you like to have pudding or pie? Or a chicken that's ready to fry? Would you like some steak or perhaps a piece of cake? Would you like to have something to eat? Broccoli and Brussels sprouts are very good indeed. Food is so important, it's a basic human need. So would you like a potato or two? Or a big bowl of leftover stew? Would you like some Coke or perhaps an artichoke? Would you like to have something to eat? Would you like to have pheasant or fish? Or some other such well-prepared dish? Would you like some gum or a burger on a bun? Would you like to have something to eat? Some folks eat like little birds, and others eat like swine. Consume with moderation, that's the proper way to dine. So would you like to have something to eat? Maybe something that's salty or sweet. If you don't eat well, then you might end up in hell. Would you like to have something to eat?
And that was Donna Party, which was quite good. And, Stu, I don't know if you know, earlier on this year, I was at Wimbledon at the women's singles final.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I was lucky enough to have a seat very near the Royal Box.
Oh, yeah, you've seen one from the Royal Family?
I did. I saw Diana and William, right? I looked across at them to see what they looked like, you know, because I haven't seen many photos of them.
Right.
And as I was looking, Diana sort of started to turn around, and she looked me right in the face, right?
Yeah.
So I pulled a sort of stupid face at her, and she laughed and gave me this really saucy look.
Wow.
So I thought, wow, I'm in, you know, because she's single now, isn't she? So I could probably do whatever, you know, if I was lucky. But, you see, I'm a commoner, aren't I? But if she'd known I had my own show on 1FM,
yeah,
I could have been in there. So, earlier today, I thought I'd try and follow up, and I rang up Buckingham Palace. This is what happened.
Buckingham Palace.
Hi, is that Buckingham Palace?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Richard Herring here from 1FM, Lee and Herring.
I'm sorry, we don't speak to radio stations.
So I thought that's a bit rude.
Yeah, usual sort of response to you, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
where that is concerned.
Yeah. You think Buckingham Palace wouldn't be that rude. But I wasn't deterred. I thought I'd try again, so I bluffed through the receptionist, and I managed to get through to the press office.
Hello, press office.
Hi, this is Richard Herring here from Lee and Herring 1FM. Is it possible to speak to Diana, please?
Okay, are you from where?
1F, Radio 1, Lee and Herring show.
I don't think I know that one. So who's Diana?
Lady Diana from the royal family.
Perhaps you mean the Princess of Wales?
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, sorry. Because I just wondered if I could speak to her, because we sort of met up at Wimbledon, and, you know, she sort of expressed an interest, not in words as such, but of sort of maybe speaking to me.
Not Well, I'm afraid that neither the Princess of Wales nor other members of the Royal Family take telephone calls from the media in that way.
Could you leave a message for her?
No, I couldn't, I'm afraid. If it's BBC Radio 1 you're calling from, you should go through the BBC Royal Liaison Office.
All right, OK. So can they set me up with sort of a date or something? Because she's free at the moment, isn't she?
Well, that would be entirely a matter for the Princess to decide. But
do you think there's a chance?
She doesn't undertake media commitments, does she?
OK. Do you think there is a chance or not?
I really couldn't say. I would have thought very unlikely. She doesn't normally.
OK. All right, well, thanks very much. Okay. Bye-bye. So,
I reckon you might be in with that woman, though. I reckon you might be in with that woman from the press.
Well, I reckon, Stu, what's happening... Diana wants to go out with me, because from the look, but, yeah, you know, there, it's I'm meeting a wall of silence.
Well, it would be embarrassment, wouldn't
it? So, I know you like pop music, Diana, so if you're listening to the show, do ring up. The phone number is... What's the phone
071-306-0222,
so
and
you'll
get
there,
priority if you call in, obviously.
Ring in, and we'll have a chat, maybe arrange to get out for a drink or something.
Danuk Zemkis and Arthur M. Seahand, Hollywood producers.
So, this guy came to us with a script, yep, and it was called...
The Flintstones.
The Flintstones, the movie.
Yeah.
And we said, and we like this, it's quite good. There's
a couple of little changes.
We want to make to this.
Danuk told them what he,
yeah,
what
I
he
said,
wanted.
What you got here, you got this Fred Flintstone character, a sort of caveman.
Yeah.
What we want to do is to change that into a little... dinosaur-like dog.
Dino.
Dinosaur. Dino, we, yeah, might call it. And then this Dino, the dinosaur dog.
Yeah.
We want to change that, but into a caveman, maybe called Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the selling point.
We change the title.
We don't call it the Flintstones the movie.
We call it
the Flintstones the movie.
Flintstones.
And he said to us, he said, that is just my idea, and you've changed Fred Flintstone for Dino, and Dino, they'll just be the other way around on the poster.
Yeah, and we said to him, well,
I said,
you know,
that is why we are Hollywood producers, and you are a schmuck,
a bum,
in the gutter.
That's right.
That way you belong.
And he turned around, and he stormed out, and he didn't come back.
We
what
never
was his name?
Him.
I can't remember.
Steven Spielman.
Spielberg,
I don't know,
something
like that. Never saw him again.
Lee and Herring on 1FM.
Well, it's just about the end of the show. We decided from your many wonderful phone calls that the one we heard nearly first, Paul Kelly from Dumfries with Whispering Bob Harris onto a red ant. Morton, it was a red ant, because he looks like an ant, is what,
yeah,
Paul had said.
So there'll be something in the post for you.
Probably be something rubbish.
Keep those drawings of celebrities and any as insects and anything else coming
there'll
in.
There'll be another prize.
Lee and Herring, The Pleasance, 60 The Pleasance, Edinburgh, EH890J.
Yep, and... this show was brought to you with Stuart Lee, Pete Bainham, who was terrible, I thought, but if you disagree, write in and say. If you agree, write in and say as well. Kevin Eldon, Ronnie Ancona, Rebecca Frump was on tape, and it was a Chris J. Neal production. And if you're interested, Stu, Pete, Kevin, me are all up in Edinburgh from Wednesday doing a variety of hilarious shows.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Come and see them. We're in Edinburgh next week.
Thanks, everyone, for writing in. I wish there was time to mention everyone, but there isn't. But thanks for writing in. Thanks for whoever sent us that picture of the gerbil as well. We really,
yeah,
really laughed.
And,
that's really funny.
Claire, I am the good-looking one that you fancy. It's not Stu, so
yeah,
good choice there.
Yeah,
and if you have had your A-level results this week and they weren't everything you wanted, why not go and get really drunk for about the next 15 years and then you'll find it doesn't really matter anymore.
Or alternatively, if your grades are low, why not just lower your expectations of what you'd hoped you could get out of your life accordingly. Thanks for listening. Here's Mark Radcliffe.
Bye.
This download is brought to you by www.thistlefun.net.